Hey audience, hope you all are cruising safely through this pandemic and enjoying your work from home or back to work options. As for me, I'm definitely enjoying the podcasting bandwagon so far and adding new energy insight episodes to my podcast. Thanks a ton for graciously listening to me and trusting my skill set. For those of you who are listening to me for the first time, a little bit of background on me. I am an energy professional with around 2 decades of experience in oil and gas industry. As I mentioned in my older podcast, that undoubtedly there are tremendous resources to read and gain the energy insights from. But I would like to use the power of active listening and share these insights with you all. So my dear audience, tighten your seat belt as I do the reading and assembling part and bring the pertinent energy facts ready for your ears to enjoy. On a side note, the scope of this podcast is strictly for knowledge sharing purposes and not necessarily to provide any advice or recommendation to the audience or listeners. Any recommendation, suggestion, or advice made by me in the podcast is strictly on personal capacity and not in any professional capacity or attached to any company. Statistics and content collated and presented by me is from the literature available in public domain, and not in any way I attract any liability for any inconsistency or irregularity in terms of accuracy. So with that background, let's talk energy with Rocky. And the topic for today's session is, can small-scale LNG bring the next big revolution in the gas sector? You might hear me using the acronym SSLNG for the small-scale LNG in the presentation going forward. So audience, as I take a deeper dive into the LNG value chain to understand the dynamics of different business segments, the SSLNG specifically attracts a lot of my attention. Also, one of my ex-colleagues from the gas sector with whom I had the pleasure working on one of the first wave US LNG projects sent me his recommendation to talk on this topic. So I decided to put a quick podcast together on this topic. This podcast may not cover all the facets of SSLNG, but I will try to make a candid effort to put together the dynamics at a broader level based on the market research I have captured on this topic. So let's first understand what the term small-scale LNG refers to. Small-scale LNG refers to the direct use of LNG in its liquid form, as opposed to the traditional model of producing LNG in the humongous liquefaction trains and regasifying it before using it. The SSLNG approach is more scalable and it offers flexibility because of its plug-and-play format. Now, let me present a quick overview of the traditional LNG production route. The traditional LNG route starts by subcooling the natural gas within the huge liquefaction trains, shipping them to distant places via marine vessels in the liquid form, and then regasifying it as and when needed before using the liquid fuel in the vapor form, also referred to as peak shipping. As opposed to typical traditional LNG facilities, small-scale LNG liquefaction units or plants are very modular in nature and can be directly installed close to the user and supply end users directly with the liquid fuel, that is LNG. So, of course, it works in places where traditional infrastructure does not reach or for consumers requiring directly the liquid fuel in small quantities. Usually, the SSLNG are smaller units and they have a production capacity of fewer than 500,000 tons per year. Just to give you an idea, the traditional LNG facilities have production capacities anywhere in the range of 6 to 30 million tons per year, with a standard train size of 4 to 6 MTPA each. LNG plant capacity is usually specified in millions metric ton per year, MTPA or MTY, million metric ton per annum or million metric ton per year. Now, let's talk about the three major end uses for a small-scale LNG. SSLNG is gaining a lot of momentum in the marine sector as a marine fuel for bunkering solution. Secondly, it is also used as a direct liquid fuel for heavy road transport and in power generation sector in the off-grid location. So let's start with the marine fuel for bunkering solution. how it is used. LNG as marine fuel is gaining a lot of traction as it supports a perfect decarbonization solution. And we all know that currently energy industry is supremely focused to adhere to the decarbonization solution so they can reduce the carbon footprint in the ecosystem. So marine industry is definitely looking at the prospects of cleaner energy solution, and LNG fits their needs. In fact, LNG bunkering is emerging as one of the key 2020 trends of our gas industry. LNG-fueled vessels emit virtually no SOx, SOx, and PM, particulate matter, while dramatically limiting emissions of NOx, NOx. So the use of SSLNG with its plug-and-play nature in the maritime sector can reduce GHG, greenhouse gas emissions, up to 21% compared with the current oil-based marine fuels over the entire life cycle from well to wake, including the methane emissions. This means that when combined with the Energy Efficiency Design Index, EEDI, improvements to the ship design with SSLNG, the maritime industry will likely meet the IMO 2030 decarbonization targets for the new built vessels. Now, let me share with a little bit insight into what IMO is and what their objectives are. IMO stands for International Maritime Organization, and it is the United Nations specialized agency with the responsibility for the safety and security of shipping and the prevention of marine and atmospheric pollutions by ships. IMO's work supports the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. The new regulations known as IMO 2020 mandates a maximum sulfur content of 0.5% in marine fuels globally. The driver of this change is the need to reduce the air pollution created in the shipping industry by reducing the sulfur content of the fuels that the ships use. Since LNG as a bunkering fuel solution meets most of the requirements set by IMO 2020 revisions, the small-scale LNG are becoming mainstream and gaining a lot of momentum in the maritime sector. Now, moving on to the second major user, which is the direct liquid fuel for heavy road transport. So I'm sure all of you are aware that lately we see a lot of news from several Asian countries, Asia-Pacific countries, about the ambitious road fuel plans to overcome the huge problem of pollution and combating, again, the GHG emissions. So for all the above reasons that on no SOx, no SOx or NOx and particulate matter that I mentioned in the maritime and the maritime industry, LNG is also instrumental as a most sought after clean fossil fuel solution for the transportation industry. Many Asian countries have already successfully used LNG fuel trucks and buses to create a business for the retail outlets. Again, due to the plug-and-play modular approach of the SSLNG and being more scalable to cater the end users, SSLNG can be used at places where a pipeline network is hard to reach. So this is another area that is making SSLNG prominent in the global marketplace. Now, the third major end use is in the power generation sector, specifically in the off-grid locations. Small-scale LNG has emerged as an effective and reliable solution for the off-grid power generation and supply on account of its flexibility, and hence it has fueled demand in areas which were previously unsuited to LNG as a fuel source, such as off-grid power generation in the remote areas or in the islands. These include the use of small-scale LNG in the households as well as for the industrial purposes. Of course, a point to be noted here is that the key driver to meet the demand is in off-grid power generation application is the development of an efficient and sustainable logistics network so that the end user in the remote location can be reached easily. But at the same time, it is also to be noted that the investment requirement to switch towards SSLNG power is relatively lower than for the applications such as trucking and bunkering, as no major infrastructure is required. So overall, these three sectors are tremendously supported by a small-scale LNG sector. Above and beyond, there are other sectors as well in which SSLNG is used, but I will not cover those in detail in this episode. As I mentioned earlier, although the market is progressive, yet relatively immature for small-scale LNG and definitely yet to reach its full potential. Nevertheless, it is assuring to see that several major energy companies are already putting their best feet forward and are involved in expanding SSLNG sector, including Shell, ENGIE, ENI, which helps to bring the small-scale LNG to mainstream. Applications such as industrial power and potential to transport LNG over long distances without the need of for heavy investment like pipelines definitely pushes the growth of small-scale LNG market across the globe. The global small-scale LNG market size is estimated to be around $2.3 billion in 2020 and is projected to reach around $2.7 billion by 2025 with a compound annual growth rate of 2.6%, I believe, which is worth noting. And APAC, Asia-Pacific, is the largest and fastest-growing economy for the small-scale LNG market, owing to its increasing usage in various end-use applications such as heavy-duty vehicles and industrial and power sector. The increase in demand is definitely because of the growing population, rising disposable income, and economic growth noted in China, South Korea, and Taiwan lately. Now, after this, I would definitely like to talk about the business trends that influence the small-scale SSLNG market size. So, first and foremost, of course, rising use of LNG as a primary energy source and raising awareness worldwide to switch to a cleaner energy source is one of the biggest reasons to drive the market size of the small-scale LNG as well. As I mentioned before, small-scale LNG is scalable, meaning the providers can easily add capacity to serve increased last-minute demands of their users, which makes it a perfect, clean and optimized energy solution. Then factors such as opportunity to gain profit in a shorter duration is another important driver for the small-scale LNG to flourish. The technology offers investors more immediate and potentially attractive returns in the near-term future, given its plug-and-play service and with lower investment requirements and accelerated commissioning schedules. We all know that large-scale projects are to some extent more capital-intensive and could be risky. Also, the complex technologies and equipments used in large-scale LNG makes it very comprehensive. And additionally, we can't deny the fact that they have to face a constant challenge of changing regulatory environment. So there are several edge that we get with SSLNG. As I previously talked, due to the growing demand for LNG as a source of fuel for ships and heavy-duty vehicles, the application for transportation is expected to provide a major boost for small-scale LNG market. The difference in price between the LNG and oil is one of the major drivers that alters the total cost of ownership for the end users and brings SSLNG into the global stage. There is also increasing interest in SSLNG from the remote residential and industrial power generation sectors. The ability to use LNG in its liquid form without going through the regasification process definitely helps the small business developers specifically to create a more feasible business and the models. Precisely because of this flexibility, small-scale LNG can stimulate demand in area of the market that were previously unsuited to LNG as a fuel source. Other benefits of SSLNG over large-scale LNG ventures are, of course, lower capex, faster construction cycles, and as mentioned above, quicker payoff periods. Now, a million-dollar question that I would like to address is what factors would support the expansion of small-scale LNG segment within the gas sector? A few months back, I read some very insightful articles which were presented by esteemed gas industry speakers at the Gas Tech conferences in 2018 and 2019. In fact, this topic gained a lot of the momentum in several conferences in past 2 years. And pretty much one point that most of the speakers made, which I found very convincing and remarkable, was that to succeed in the small-scale LNG business segment, companies will have to develop the right business model. They will need to have a flexible business strategy and, of course, build core capabilities. The strategic approach will definitely lie in integrating all the operations across the entire LNG value chain and building successful partnerships within the LNG value chain. It will be very important that the players within the SSLNG sector remain active across all the segments of the industry, from the supply of the gas to transportation and distribution, right down to the point of direct commercial relationships with the end users. So it is simple to say that companies that will move with more agility, with the right strategy and capabilities in place, and that can build partnerships all across the LNG value chain, will benefit from the advantage to reap the results sooner. With such a strategized approach, small-scale LNG could be the next biggest revolution in the gas sector. And the good news is that there are a lot of successful market leaders already recognized in the industry that offer a wide range of standard plant solutions for small-scale liquefaction units. I would not like to particularly reference any specific industry players, as my podcast is not to endorse, advertise, or market any specific company, but to create a general awareness on SSLNG segment, I would like to name a few market players. The Linde Group, Air Products and Chemicals, Siemens, General Electric, Black & Veatch, Chart Industries, ConocoPhillips, Plum Energy LLC, and China National Offshore Oil Corporation are amongst very many market players in the SSLNG sector. These market leaders have established standard SSLNG modules, which they have used to cater the needs of the three major end users that I mentioned above in the presentation, and also have a proven track record and industry references. So conclusively, as I mentioned before, the success of SSLNG segment majorly depends on integrating all the operations and building successful partnership across the entire LNG value chain. So that's my two cents on the growth prospects of SSLNG, small-scale LNG business segment that can bring the next revolution in the gas sector. So, dear audience, with that information and positive note, I leave you to think if SSLNG has the potential to make it big and gain momentum in the coming years or not. Can it be the optimized solution to support the net zero focus in the surface and maritime transportation sector? Will it be one of the robust and resilient solutions for the cleaner and sustainable tomorrow? It will be my pleasure to hear your viewpoints. And with that, time to wrap up my talk for today. And if you find this 20-minute brain dump of mine interesting, feel free to circulate it in your network and do write to me at energyinsightwithrakhi@gmail.com. I would be more than happy to hear your perspective, and I promise to take your suggestions on topics for my future podcast. Hope to catch up with you soon with some other energy insights. Until then, bye and stay safe.